We are gathered here tonight in benediction, beholding the bread of the Eucharist, and in that, the presence of Christ. Something we do every Sunday, but not as explicitly as we do in this act of veneration. And it seems to some like a very arcane thing to do. But I want to suggest that at a deeper level, it is the most natural thing we can do. And I want to unpack what I mean. When we were born, we came into the world with no sense of separation, no sense of division from our source. The baby doesn't have any initial sense of lack or of separation. Really, it's the birth canal. That is that first rude interruption, disruption of that innocence, that sense of relatedness. It just gets more disruptive as life goes on. And so we learn. We learn what is mom and what is not mom. We learn what is hunger and what is fullness. We learn what is safe and what is unsafe. What is mine and what is not mine. What is my place? What is my tribe? What are my limits? All these distinctions, they train us to believe something very important. We believe in this or that. Either or. We learn to make distinction. Right or wrong, good or bad, sacred or profane. As we grow and learn these distinctions, one of the casualties along the way is that we lose touch with that original primordial connectedness, that sense that we were born with, and the self that we create as we go along becomes self-ish, what we often call the small separated self. And we're living deeper and deeper into a world where more and more of us are telling each other, unless I put myself first, there will never be enough. And never asking the question, enough for what? Jesus addresses this tension of distinction and connection when he stops the adults from beating back the children and moves them to the center of his teaching. We're here tonight. Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. In an age of helicopter parents, I think we can miss the scandal of what is happening in what Jesus is doing. Jesus is not applauding children's innocence or purity or wonder, but rather their sheer unimportance in the equation of things, their vulnerable peripheralness. Of course, they were precious then as now, but they were precious in a different way than we might initially understand. The majority of children, really up until this last century, died before adulthood. Just the numbers. And so you had lots of them, if you could. And without meaning to be crude, they were a little more like livestock. They were an asset. They were insurance. They were a labor force. They were something you traded in marriage. They were your retirement. But they were never seen as worthy of being put in the center of the conversation. They were incomplete humans. What Jesus is doing in calling them to the center is something that happens then mirrored opposite in the next story that's attached to this, where the rich man walks out of the circle because he can't see the contradiction between holding on to all his stuff and stepping into eternal life. His dualism, his this or that, has got him unable to let go of anything. It's the inversion of things that Jesus is always after. What the ego doesn't like, doesn't compute. That the way up is down. That the way forward is inward. That if you want to win at things, you must become vulnerable. Or as Paul says, when I am weak, then I am strong. It doesn't make sense to the small, separate self. I was late to learn this, but I learned a couple years ago that in queer theory, there are two central principles that orient that discipline. And when I heard them first, I thought, that's gospel. That encapsulates everything I see Jesus doing in Scripture, here and almost every other recorded action. The first is that, I'll just go right to Jesus, not queer theory, he centralizes the marginal. And the second, he breaks down false binaries. Dual principles here. Centralizing the marginal and breaking down false binaries. Because by definition, God has no peripheral vision. It was the medieval Franciscan theologian Bonaventure who said, God is the one whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere. Everything is equally central to God's vision. So if we've marginalized it, we are seeing with partial, biased, obstructed vision. And that's why the marginalized gets centralized, simply to help us see more of the picture. Jesus centralized the children not because they were better than the adults, but because they had no voice. They were vulnerable, and they were marginalized. So, perfect example. And the second point, breaking down the false binaries, children are also brilliant for. They haven't yet learned to create those false binaries that often rule adult lives. They see what they see. They know what they know. Children don't make believe. They just make, and they believe. When I was a kid, I used to play at school during recess with the kids who weren't out on the sports field. We were those other kids. And there were, on the playground, there were a bunch of Norway pine trees with big long needles that just fell like carpets. And we used to build houses out of those pine needles. And they weren't houses, they were really just floor plans. They were just like piles, you know, of needles that created the walls and doors and windows. We just made the spaces and drew a floor plan. No one needed to tell us that those weren't houses. But they were real. And bunching up those pine needles together really mattered. It would have been a totally different exercise, pretty boring, if we had been sat down and told to fold our hands and imagine real houses. Bunching those pine needles together and seeing the house take shape and making additions and renovations was exhilarating and creative and real. We didn't need to be told what a symbol was. We just intuitively got it. And I think it probably could only have happened because there were no adults in the room. We were just left alone. And we knew what we were doing. I said earlier that at a deeper level, the veneration of the sacrament is an entirely natural and obvious act. if we are seeing it with that undivided eye of God, where everything is sacred, and if we're doing it like children. If we make the sacrament special in a way that is magically not like anything else on the planet, then we are just perpetuating that sacred profane binary that is false. It cannot possibly be true if God is the wholeness that holds all things in being. But if we focus on one thing in order to see God's presence intensely in it, so that we can understand God's presence everywhere equally, then we're on the contemplative path toward that kind of whole seeing that allows us to see God in more and more places, in our neighbor, in our enemy, in ourselves. When Javier and I got married, Sarah Miles, who married us, looked into our eyes before we began the rite in City Hall, and she said, "This is real." And those three words literally took our breath away. And they have stayed with us ever since. Something we could have barely imagined suddenly made manifest. What a mystery. Like this. What we're doing here. These mysteries are not things we will never understand. Mystery, at least as we use it here, are those things that we will endlessly be coming to understand. So come. Let us adore. Let us attend to the 10 million sacraments of God in this world, and especially to the sacrament of this present moment. This is real.